Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice. Fair use. Successful crowdfunding. How to ask for music rights. And what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm Claire Papin, your host, along with Carol Dean, the author of The Art of Film Funding and CEO of From the Heart Productions. Our guest today, a veteran of the film industry, Mark Hofstetter. He's been in the film industry for over a decade, and he leads crowdfunding organization Indiegogo's film and digital division. Originally from New York, Hofstetter started his career at the William Morris Agency before serving as a production executive on both the Universal Pictures and 20th Century Fox lots. And Carol, I understand that you've been a partner with Indiegogo for 2 years now?
Yes, From the Heart is honored to work with Indiegogo. They are a team of creative, intelligent, caring, supporting people. And Mark, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So we'd love to know more about your film background and what brought you to Indiegogo.
Sure. So my first job in the industry was working for Bingham Ray's Arcola Films back in the late 90s. And all throughout high school and college, I was an avid follower and still am, obviously, of independent cinema. And when I came out to L.A., I went up to work at the William Morris Agency, and then I went to work in a studio system for a number of years, both at Universal and Fox. But it was actually when, this is just about a year ago, an old colleague of mine mentioned an opportunity to join the Indiegogo team, and it was just something that I couldn't pass up, and here I am a year later, and it's been an amazing experience, and it's an amazing company.
Yes, I think they are, and they are very forward thinking, and they move pretty fast for a big company, don't you think?
The company launched in January 2008 at the Sundance Film Festival. And, film has always been the linchpin within the company in terms of, where it drives its business, but also how it grows as a company. We're always thinking about what the next step is because, as I just said, we've been around for about 6.5 years. The general population is only really just really catching on to crowdfunding, in the last year or so, but there's a lot to be done for the future in terms of business model, in terms of how we work as a company, how we work as a site, but we're always thinking about what the next step is.
Yes, and I think that they stay way out front in all areas. So your title at Indiegogo is Head of Film. So what does that mean to be the Head of Film?
Sure, that's a good question. So, basically, on a day-to-day basis, I oversee the general direction, both in terms of philosophy and also in terms of practice, in terms of the film division. It strongly relates to the partnerships that we put into place, whether it's from great fiscal sponsors like From the Heart or filmmaker-driven organizations like IFP. Based in New York, who is a partner of ours, or even within the student film system. AFI, American Film Institute, is a new partner of ours. We most recently worked with their Women's Directors Workshop, where six of their filmmakers all ran Indiegogo's campaigns at the same time. Actually, three of them are actually still running. Three of them have hit their goal, and the others are just short of their goals. And you know, so it's also evangelizing. You know, people, as I said, are only really coming into, or really only seeing crowdfunding come into mainstream in about the last year or so. So it's also up to me going to film festivals and conferences to and other events to, you know, evangelize and speak out on behalf of Indiegogo, and so to speak to, you know, not just what we do, but what excuse me, what the model does as well. You know, I've had conversations most recently with film sales agents, you know, and how crowdfunding and Indiegogo can complement what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. And again, as I said, the model is changing. The sophistication of these campaigns is growing. And so I think what we're going to see probably in the next year is going to be much different than what we saw a year ago.
In what way, Mark?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. You know, again, I think it comes down to who's using crowdfunding and why. You know, when the platform launched, it was mainly student filmmakers and first-time filmmakers launching campaigns. But now we're actually seeing a sort of a wide variety of filmmakers, and it actually they all help out each other. I'll give you an example. One of the things that we've been seeing, one of the campaigns that we actually saw recently, was a successful campaign for the Sci-Fi Channel film Sharknado 2. Sharknado 2 came to Indiegogo to crowdfund an extra scene in the upcoming movie that premieres in July. And they did that for a couple of reasons. One, they wanted to just promote their brand, sort of gain a bit more buzz for the sequel. And they also wanted to engage their fans. From the first film, it was a very strong fan base. They had a very strong and positive reaction to sort of this now new cult film. And so they ran a small $50,000 Indiegogo campaign to finance this new scene. This new scene, which the fans, it would be a scene for the fans, by the fans. And it was successful. And so the great thing about that campaign, though, is where you may say, oh, they're a corporate company, you know, Sci-Fi Channel, independent financing, independent company, The Asylum, who produces those films, why do they need to do Indiegogo? And the reality is anybody can do an Indiegogo, and it all comes down to the reason why they're doing it and how they're able to portray that to the crowd. If the crowd approves of it, then I think that's all that really matters. But the great thing about all the people that contribute to that campaign, what we're seeing, not just in a campaign like that, but very similar ones, were upwards of 50% of the people who contribute to that campaign were to an Indiegogo for the first time, stick around and start to contribute to other projects. So just yesterday, Wednesday, the actor, now director, Don Cheadle, launched an Indiegogo for his long-gestating Miles Davis project. He'd been trying to make the movie for 7 years. And as I said a moment ago, you know, the crowd is already right behind it. He's 20% funded within the first 24 hours. You know, what we're seeing is a lot of people coming to the platform because of individuals like him, who they know a little bit better and say, all right, I'm going to contribute to your project. But then I realize, wait a minute, there's all these other projects on Indiegogo, not just films, but music and gaming and nonprofits. And then roughly 50% of people who contribute for the first time stick around. So I think that it's in that way, it's becoming more sophisticated in terms of who's crowdfunding and how and why. And then, of course, and this is a totally different part of the conversation, but there's the Jobs Act and equity crowdfunding. You know, we've been waiting for that in terms of for unaccredited investors. We've been waiting for that to happen and go into practice from the SEC for the last almost 2 years now. It is 2 years. So all things point to that actually happening this year. And when that does happen, I think it's going to be a game changer.
The Jobs Act. Well, there's two things. I'm really glad to hear that mm-hmm. you're finding people stick around they go in for maybe a film about Miles Davis or Don, and then stay around and donate to other people, because the majority of the filmmakers that you talk to say that 90% of the income came from their own list.
Right. Yeah, and it's true. It's like, I mean, look, I mean, Don put a significant portion of the budget for Miles Ahead, which is in the film. He put a significant amount of the budget into the film himself. You know, he's coming to Indiegogo because he generally needs a bit of gap financing here at the end of the pre-production phase. But you're right. A lot of filmmakers assume a lot of the risk, and this is obviously mitigating risk. You know, we are in a position where we're able to help filmmakers own a bit more of their film, retain creative control, retain ownership of the film, and I think that's a really big thing. I think we're in a sort of a world now where everybody's trying to take control of what everybody else is doing. You know, especially, you know, look at, you know, information and that analogy in terms of, you know, what we get to own about ourselves these days via social media and so forth. But, you know, I think that what we're really seeing is that, again, the opportunity to put that aside and say, you know, this is something that I've created. This is something that came from my own mind. This is something that I've been passionate about for quite some time. And I'm going to make this, and I want to have the opportunity to retain ownership and retain creative control. And I think that that's something that should be applauded, and I think that's only something that people are going to be applauding more in the future.
Right. Well, I'm the next thing I'm really interested in is where you're talking to the distributors, so the sales mm-hmm. agents,
yeah.
because basically the way I look at it is that you're building your audience while you're making your film. You're really marketing the film for the sales agent with your Indiegogo campaign, don't you think so?
Well, I 100% agree. I think that a lot of agents are now saying to their clients, "You should run a crowdfund. You should run an Indiegogo, because it will bring that extra awareness." I point to the fact that, and we love these companies. You know, with iTunes and Netflix and Amazon Prime and other streaming services, whether it be Snag Films or IndieFlix or Hulu. There's a lot of content that's out there. You have to sort of fight for the attention that you want. So how else to grab that attention? How else to, you know, fight the fact that perhaps maybe you're not on the homepage of iTunes or you're not on the homepage of Netflix or Amazon Prime? How better to fight that and say, all right, I'm going to do a small campaign, at which point I'll engage hundreds, if not thousands, of people, letting them see what I'm doing, let them behind the curtain, let them be part of the process, and therefore they become your advocates, and those advocates breed more advocates, and those advocates breed more advocates. I always, and I'll make this a quick story, I always tell the story of when I worked, my first job as a production assistant. Before I moved out to Los Angeles, I worked as a production assistant on a Michael Mann film shooting in Miami, and my name was going to be in the credits. It was my first on-screen credit, and I was very excited by it, and so I went to the movie theater with my friends in Miami. I told my parents in New York to go see it. I told my brother and his wife in Washington, D.C. to go see it. I told my friends in Los Angeles to go see it, so I brought my own crowd with me to the theater. mainly because my name was in the credits, and so they all went and they all saw my name, and it was spelled wrong, but it was there. But it's the same idea. So imagine that, you know, you as a funder get a thank you credit perk in a particular campaign for one of your favorite filmmakers or a film involving one of your favorite actors, or just based on something that, or based on a comic book or a book that you love. And so you have that thank you credit and you tell those 10 people, and then they see that film and they like that film. And then they tell 10 people each, and, you know, goes on like that. And suddenly that one person contributing to a crowdfunding campaign breeds, you know, thousands of individuals who go off and see a movie because either they're directly they have a direct relationship with the person who is now in, behind the film, so to speak, or they just love it. And they tell their friends about it via social media or in person. And I think that's sort of what distributors and sales agents and agents are all seeing. It's like, this is a better way to get your film out there. It's a stronger way because the people who are seeing your film are that much more invested in what you're doing.
Absolutely. That's what Jonah Berger calls social currency. And mm-hmm. that's what we live with on a daily basis. We're always referring people. So what have you been doing? Who do you know? What have you seen lately? And we refer 4 to 5 things a day to our friends. So mm-hmm. so this film becomes your social currency, is what you're saying, right?
Right, 100%. That's exactly it.
Right.
And yeah.
I'm so excited about this Jobs Act. Can you tell us anything about it, when it
sure.
might happen, and how is Indiegogo getting involved? And if so, have you any idea of how it would work?
Right. So the Jobs Act was a law that passed in April 2012. It had 2 provisions. It changed SEC law that had been in place for approximately, I think it was about 80 years. And Title II, the first position, provision, allows you to publicly solicit investment from accredited investors. Accredited investors mean anybody who's making over $200,000. So to most people, that is the wealthy individuals. Title III allows you to publicly solicit investment from individuals who are not accredited, so who make less than $200,000 a year. That is sort of the average person, if you will. And so Title II went into law this past fall. Title III, which has been debated and up for public comment for many months now, has yet to go into law. And that's really what we're all waiting for in terms of the crowdfunding community and what Indiegogo is waiting for. It will happen. The question is when. As I said, it's something that went into effect on paper, not in practice, back in April 2012. We've been waiting for it since April 2012 to go into practice. I do think it will happen at some point in 2014. We're only in May. Now we're in June. So that means six plus months until the end of the year. And I do think it will happen. What it will mean for Indiegogo. So Indiegogo is very excited by equity crowdfunding. We want to be a part of it. It comes down to it being enacted. We can't do anything. We can't prepare until it's put into practice and put into effect because the actual components of that provision have not been solidified. So we really can't do too much just yet. But what I do think we'll be seeing is we'll be seeing campaigns. Equity crowdfunding will not be right for everybody. If you're making a short film or a web series, it probably does not make sense because there will be no return, and it doesn't make logistical sense. There will be some obviously paperwork and added elements to a equity crowdfunding campaign, but we would aim to make it as streamlined as possible. But how it would actually function is that right now we have perk-based funding, which is you receive a good or a service in return for your contribution, and so that would remain, but it would be augmented by equity crowdfunding. So on a film campaign, you would see on the lower tier perks the perks, and then you would see equity perks. The buy-in, so to speak, would probably be a minimum of about $5,000, and it would go up from there. Based on, again, the restrictions of the law, and then also, obviously, what the choosing is of the filmmaker or producer. So perks-based crowdfunding will never go away. It will only be augmented by equity crowdfunding.
So you might have a $5,000 buy-in. I noticed that is true in the crowdfunding that they're doing on property. So that makes sense, $5,000 minimum buy-in, and then the producer would choose what levels or where it goes from there. So you would get all your perks, plus that $5,000 would be returned to you based on the potential in a return on investment.
Right. It'd be like buying a stock and a company. And also this would all be very transparent because it would have to be legally. Should the film return make a return on investment? Based on how much you've contributed or how much you've invested, in what way you've invested, you would ideally see a return. Now, of course, that wouldn't just be true with films on Indiegogo. We say fund anything from anywhere, which is true because we're the only global crowdfunding platform. Right now, we've seen projects fund and be funded from over 224 countries and territories. So that would also apply to technology campaigns, gaming campaigns, music campaigns. But obviously, speaking on behalf of film, I think it's something that is, I hear people asking me, can we do it now? And I say, I only wish. It's not my choice. It's not our choice. But I think we are getting close to it actually happening and being put into effect. But we will get there very soon.
Great. I'm so excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've heard Karki Kessler has told me a lot about it, but it's like the typical Hollywood thing, hurry up and wait, we're all
exactly.
waiting. We can't wait to hear what's going to come.
This is even worse. We're waiting on the U.S. government to hurry up. So they move even slower than Hollywood sometimes.
Very true. Well, you mentioned something about all the countries. How many countries have Indiegogo campaigns, and how many countries can you take money from?
We can literally take. We have seen projects from literally all of the countries that we are legally allowed to do business with. I was actually speaking with our head of international recently, and we were talking about the ones that we can't because of trade restrictions. Cuba, Iran, and Syria are on the no-go list, but every other country on the planet has used Indiegogo, and roughly about 70 countries every single week are being funded. Over one-third of all our contributions every day and every week are coming from overseas and internationally. That's a really great thing. I was at the Toronto Film Festival this past year. There was a film called All About the Feathers, which
I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. And we just saw, there was a movie that was funded through the African country of Mali recently. There's actually a very large Nordic contingent that are funding films in Finland and Norway and in Sweden on Indiegogo. They're actually making a lot of genre films out there right now, and they're using crowdfunding and Indiegogo to help fund those projects.
Well, I've had some campaigns in from money coming in from foreign countries, and I was able to, because I use PayPal as the gateway, to keep the money in that foreign currency and then return it right back to some of the filmmakers wanted some money sent back to that country. I could do that because I kept the money in that country's currency, and then I didn't have any exchange rate.
Exactly.
That worked really well because I was very concerned about exchange rates, but no, you can hold the currency in that exchange rate and then return it back to that country, and they simply have the standard fees that you would have in America. So it works really well. I'm pleased with that. So now let's get into the nitty-gritty about campaigns, because one of the biggest problems I have, Mark, is I talk to filmmakers and I say I give them consultations about their campaign with tips, and I have online classes, and I do personal situations with them and talk to them. And the biggest problem I have is that I'll say, "What is your goal?" Well, I'm going after $100,000. Okay, because that's my budget, Carol. That's what I need, $100,000. Okay. How many names do you have in your database? I have 1,000. Okay. But there is a major discrepancy here. If you were raising money from 1,000 people, how much do you think each one will give you, and do you think you can reach the 100,000? So then their next statement often is, "Oh, but I have the ABC company who's promised to share my videos, and my neighbors and friends are all going to forward to their friends, and it's going to work. Don't worry." And that's where you get the $10,000 goal versus the $100,000. So what do you say to people to bring them back to the understanding that the database is really the source of your income, and that I suggest that they use that to set their goal?
You know, it's actually, you raise sort of, I find to be the biggest discrepancy when advising people on their crowdfunding campaigns, is that they have a vision as far as how much money they want to raise. They have a vision of saying, I'm going to fund the entire project through Indiegogo. And I say, we would love to see that happen. However, most films fund roughly 10 to 35% of their film through crowdfunding in Indiegogo. The rest are either the rest of the funding is either achieved through grants or equity or foreign sales. And the reason why that is because independent film in general, seldom is it that financing comes from all from one source. That's why there's gap financing. That's why there's finishing funds. And again, so as far as advising, and what we sort of do our best is to use case studies and speak to, you know, here, you can have this, you know, I'll give an example. I won't name the film, but you can probably easily find it on the site. There was a film that had $1 million goal. They said they had access to these people and that people, and it was a rather large database of individuals, and they ran an amazing campaign. But they decided that they wanted to have the $1 million goal because it looked, from a PR standpoint, they thought it looked nice, it looked big, it looked powerful. But ultimately, what they didn't realize is that they actually didn't have access to the names that they thought they had access to. They didn't have access to those names in the way that they thought they had access to. And in terms of the momentum of the campaign, if you can't reach roughly 20 to 30% of your goal in the first 72 hours, you're showcasing a very strong lack of momentum. And so the higher your goal is, the slower that you will fund. People will look at something and say, it's only 5% funded in the first 72 hours, and, you know, they've got a $100,000 goal. You know what? I'll come back later, see how it's doing, and then if it's going well, I'll contribute. And even if it is going well later on, odds are that person is never coming back because there's so many things going on in their life that they forget about it, they forget about you, and they just disappear. And so it only behooves you to be conservative with your goal. We always say aim low, fund high, because let's say your goal is you want to raise $100,000. We say, you know what, probably go for 75, because 89% of campaigns on Indiegogo that hit their goal overfund and often by 30% or more. So by that math, if you do a $75,000 campaign and you reach your goal, odds are very much in your favor that you will overfund, and not only will you overfund, you will overfund by the percentage that you actually wanted and beyond. So, and that's true. You will fund faster, and you will fund stronger. And so we've seen, I'll give you another, a perfect example of a campaign. There was a project called Once I Was. It's a documentary about Hal Ashby. It's an authorized documentary about Hal Ashby. They want to fund the entire documentary, and they're actually getting equity from other sources. But they had a $50,000 goal. They are less than halfway through the campaign. They are 95% funded. And so they have more than 2 weeks left in the campaign to add on stretch goals. to raise additional funds and go above and beyond what they originally were trying to achieve. So, and they were conservative, and it actually worked out well, and I think it's going to be a great project.
Great. Thank you so much for that information. I really appreciate it. You've made it so clear to me. I can use these numbers. First of all, 10 to 35% of the funding from Indiegogo or from crowdfunding, got it. That makes a lot of sense. And then the 20 to 30% in 72 hours, Mark, that is a critical time, isn't it?
It is incredibly critical. As I said, it's the first time that you're getting. It's like the opening weekend of a film. You know, if a film fails, whether it be a studio film or an independent film, in that first 72 hours of that first opening weekend, you're going to be in a pretty bad place. People are just not going to go out and see it because there's a lot of, as I said, there's a lot of content out there, there's a lot of films out there, and so they have a lot of choices. And so you got to make a choice as easy as possible. And the stronger your campaign is, the easier it will be for people to say, you know what, I am going to contribute to this great project, and I'm going to do it right now.
Yes, you want them now. It's got to be an instantaneous action on their part because people are too, there's too much going on in everybody's life now with the Internet and all of these social media things happening. When you get them, you have to close them. So, and let's talk a minute about the stretch goals, because I have had people who were wise enough to set their goals low, hit their goals early on, but they weren't ready. It was like, oh, my gosh, what do I do now? So what do you advise for a stretch goal? Should they have a plan of what they will do if they go over their goal? Do they have something already considered that they need extra money to go to do certain things, and then they're ready to put that on their website immediately, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all plays into the planning you do ahead of time. The campaigns that succeed the best and the strongest are the ones that are thinking about what's going to happen 15, 17, 19, 22, 24, 27 days into the campaign. They're not just thinking about the beginning and the end, thinking about the middle. And middle has, ideally, those stretch goals involved. And so plotting out what those goals are going to be, what benchmarks, and then also what drives those stretch goals. Is it an additional scene? Is it an additional location? Is it the fact that you're going to release the movie in 3D, or that you are going to do a party for anybody who funded the film? All these different items, you know, they're things to think about before you launch the campaign. You can think about some of them while the campaign is going on, but you really want to be focusing on the campaign while you're campaigning. So the more you can think about those stretch goals and pre-plan and resolve them before you launch, the better off you'll be.
Okay, well said. Thank you so much. Well, all right, so now let's go to the trailer. What tips can you give us for trailers?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. So actually, I would actually call it a pitch video, not a trailer. The trailer is what you see in the movie theater. And when you go to a movie theater and you see a trailer for, you know, Avengers 2 or even, you know, let's say 12 Years a Slave, it's not asking you to do anything. There's no call to action. It's saying, here's this thing. You probably will like it, but it's up to you to decide. It doesn't ask you to do anything. There's no call to action. There's no emotional connection. You don't have a relationship with Steve McQueen. You don't know why he was making 12 Years a Slave. You don't know why this story had to be told. When you do a pitch video, it's quite the opposite. If Steve McQueen were doing a pitch video for 12 Years a Slave, he'd be telling you why he found this book, why he thought that after approximately 300 years that it was a story worth telling. He would tell you how difficult it was to get the movie made and why he is crowdfunding. So what we really sort of say as far as what you should be doing in the pitch video is, A, appearing in it yourself as a filmmaker or as a producer, telling us who you are, what you've accomplished, why this project, why you're crowdfunding this project, and what to do next. That call to action at the end of the pitch video is very important. Without it, you'll be your funders will be lost. Your potential funders will be lost. And to that end, you want to try and keep it as succinct as possible. We always feel that the sweet spot is 2.5 to 3 minutes. You know, any longer than that, you begin to lose your crowd. They get a little bit bored. They get a little bit confused. They want to know in a short period of time all that information and be able to act on it. You know, that's something we see that works very, very well. And, you know, there are some people who choose not to use a pitch video, and it's a very rare breed that does that. You do not help yourself by not having a pitch video. You only hurt yourself. Actually, 370, you make 370% more if you have a pitch video. So, like I said, it's a rare breed that doesn't have one, but it's for those who are thinking of not having one, find a way to get it done. And also, the one other point I would make is that let that pitch video showcase your style. If you are a visionary director and you call yourself a visionary director in your pitch video, show that you're a visionary director in your pitch video. Showcase some of your work or make the video itself example of your vision.
Wow. Well done. Okay. Thank you for that. All right. So the most important thing I think people want to know is that I tell them they need a team of four to help them during the campaign because there is a lot to do. And so what, and I know Indiegogo says this, so what do you think that those four people, what type of skills should your crew have, and what should they be doing to support you?
Yeah, so it is important to have a team. It further, from an outward perspective, it further legitimizes what you're doing to the crowd. They see one person, they go, "Well, it's a little bit," you know, they don't always have confidence. When they see a team, they realize, well, there's a lot of people behind this. There's a reason why they're doing this. The reason why they're all working together on this one vision, it's why this one project. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do in the campaign. There's outreach. They're going to be doing outreach throughout the campaign. That's emailing, directly emailing anybody that's on your contact list. There's also doing outreach to organizations within sort of your subset. If you're doing a documentary on the environment, it's reaching out to environmental groups. If you're doing a movie that's based on or features bands or large musical elements, you're reaching out to music. Well, in the case of the Miles Davis project, Miles Ahead, I know that they're reaching out to a large number of jazz organizations in every single state, let alone internationally, because they want advocates on their behalf, people who will speak on behalf of them. They want to build their crowd and have their crowd essentially be helping run the campaign. Because ultimately that's what you're doing. You're getting people behind your cause. It's like, as we were sort of discussing earlier, if you go see a film, you tell your friends you just saw a great film. And then they see it, and they tell their friends they just saw a great film. And that's what you're trying to do with crowdfunding. You're trying to get your quote-unquote friends to tell people that, hey, there's this great campaign. And then they tell someone else, hey, there's this great campaign. And so that outreach is very important, and you need somebody dedicated to doing just that. There is the updates and responses on the site. You have to keep your crowd updated. You send out new content or put in new perks every few days. All the comments that people write on your page, they need to be responded to. If they have questions, you need to respond to them. If they have praise, you need to thank them. And that takes time and takes effort to do all that and updating the page. There's also social media. Social media is its own animal in itself. Somebody needs to be dedicated to running social media for the campaign, responding and doing outreach on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And it's all of these things that are difficult to do by for one person. However, if it's a a much smaller student film, it's a little bit of a different story. But even then, it does take a team to make it a successful campaign. So the more people you can get involved, the stronger your campaign will be.
Bravo. Well said. Thank you so much for that. Now, the next thing is, what is or what makes a good Indiegogo landing page that will attract donations?
For that, you know, what I always say is make it look good. don't simply throw something up there for the sake of throwing something up there. As I sort of, I think, alluded to earlier, we are seeing more sophisticated campaigns. There is graphic design within the page. There is, use photos. Don't litter your page with text. Provide infographics. Tell us where the budget's going. You don't have to tell us where every single dollar is going to go, but if you have a $100,000 goal, tell us that 20% of it is going to go to post-production via a pie chart. Showcase some of that. Show that you're putting effort into the campaign. If you show that you're putting effort into the campaign, people will in turn see that you're going to put effort into your project. If there are spelling errors or there's a broken image on your page, that's going to be very telling, and people are going to look at that and go, they're obviously not very serious about what they're doing. So the more strategic and the more clear you can be about who you are, what you're doing, and make it visual as possible, the stronger your campaign will be, and I think the greater results you'll see.
Make the page visual. Yes, you're so right, because this is a visual medium. And the most important thing is to, when I work with people creating their pitch, is it's so simple. You just have to give me a visual description of the film. It's easy to say, but it's hard when people have to sit and think about what is the visual for my film. But the more visuals you give us on the page, the more authentic it looks, the more professional, and we can see that this film will be completed and will have a good audience. We're in it. So thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Well, to summarize, let's try to list for people what are the most important things to do for a successful campaign. Maybe we start with choosing the goal, having your stretch goal ready, and some of the things we've talked about.
Mm-hmm. So, the first thing I'd always say with people and building out a successful campaign is preparation. Take, depending on the size and scope of your campaign, take as much as 4 to 6 weeks, if not longer, if you need be, to prepare your campaign. That means you can take the time to write out all your social media posts, put them in a calendar, let yourself know exactly when they're going to go up, where, and what they're going to say. Have that list of contacts ready to go. Find out from your inner circle how you're going to get that first 20 to 30% in funding in that first 72 hours. Get those commitments. Get people to firmly commit to a dollar amount if you can, so that you will know that you have that 20 to 30%. In terms of the success, know that, like any form of social media, it has to be constant and concise. I always make the analogy that crowdfunding is like a shark. I need to keep moving. You have to keep updating people. You have to keep giving them new content, keeping it interesting. Again, because there are, crowdfunding has become more and more common. People need to be excited about what they're getting involved with. And so they need to find a way to be excited. And so it's up to you to find a way to do that. And so it's very hard to think about all that stuff while you're managing the campaign. So the more you can plan ahead, the better off that you'll be. With regards to your perks, be smart about how you choose them. Know that it's going to take money and time to fulfill them. And, not only is time, also money, you also have to think about, well, if it's going to cost me this amount of money to cover my perks, how much of that will eat into my overall budget and goal? If you're trying to raise $100,000 and you're spending $25,000 plus on fulfillment of your perks, that's not very wise. We always advocate using experiences and digital fulfillment whenever possible. So whether it's a set visit or a ticket to premiere, that doesn't cost you anything. You're not, for by and large, you're not asking them, you're not paying for travel and airfare. And same thing with thank you credits. That doesn't cost you anything. That's digital fulfillment or a digital download of the film itself versus a DVD. You may want to limit the number of DVDs that you're giving away. So, you know, those experiences and the digital fulfillment, those are things you need to keep in mind. Because, again, that will make your life a lot easier on the back end of the campaign. And then also think about what the fees are going to be. Indiegogo has the lowest fees in the business at 4% when you meet your goal. And, you know, you have to be able to do the math before the campaign launches so that you can help set your goal. You know, if you need 4% more because you didn't bake in the Indiegogo fees, then you're going to have to, you know, worry about that on the back end. But if you think about that math beforehand, you'll be in a much stronger place. Think about how you're going to do your outreach. You know, are there blogs that have crowdfunding columns? And right now, there's a lot of them. IndieWire has a project of the day. Most of those are crowdfunding based. Then they have a project of the week and a project of the month and a project of the year. Their inaugural project of the year was Dear White People, an Indiegogo-funded film that premiered at Sundance this past year, or rather earlier this year. And so think about all that planning, all that outreach, the math of the perks, the math of the fulfillment, you know, how you're going to shoot your video, who's going to be in the video, who's going to be speaking out on your behalf, all of these things. Do as much of them in advance as you can, and that is what will make a successful campaign.
Wow, thank you so much. There's some great information in this interview. I know that my filmmakers will be replaying it and taking a lot of notes because you really have given us some incredibly detailed information. So, but just to get everything clear now, Indiegogo fees, if you hit your goal, is 4%. And what is the gateway fee?
Gateway fee? How do you mean?
Yes, well, PayPal or whoever you use.
The processing fee for PayPal, and we use PayPal and credit card, they take 3%, which is still lower than most other processors. I think that, and if you are working with a nonprofit or a fiscal sponsor, they have different fees, and all their fees are usually baked in together. And so you want to do your research as far as who that fiscal sponsor is that best suits your needs, and then also what those fees are. But by and large, they are lower.
Right. Got it. And if you don't hit your goal, you pay a 5% more. So that'd be 12%. It's 12 or 7, right?
Correct. And yes. But you know, the thing about the fee if you don't hit your goal being slightly at a premium is that we see that there's a path towards making your film, in even if you don't receive all your funding. If somebody, again, using a $100,000 goal, they raise $75,000, we know that they'll be able to find that $25,000 through a grant or through equity or whatever element they can find. So we give them the option. That's one thing that one of the things we're really great about at Indiegogo is giving people options. One of those options is to either do a fixed campaign, which is all or nothing, which some people like, or a flexible funding campaign, which is keep what you raise. And that's the great thing about keep what you raise, flexible, is that it's 9%, but it's 9% of something versus 0% of nothing. Because on some campaigns, you get very, very close, and you don't make it, and you just spent 30 or 40 days crowdfunding your butt off, and you have nothing to show for it. And so, again, we give you that option to keep what you raise so that you can get that remaining few dollars, go off, make your project, and go from there. But also in terms of the goal itself, you know, another great thing about Indiegogo is that we're very hands-on. We are very accessible. And I'll give my email out over the right now. It's Mark, M-A-R-C, at Indiegogo.com. Anybody can email me. Feel free to do so. We'll take a look at your draft of your campaign. We'll provide you feedback. And one of the things we'll provide you feedback on is your goal. And so by managing your goal, you know, we try to ensure that you will hit it, you will be a complete and amazing success, because we always see that your success is our success as well.
Yes, it is, because this follows you. It's now become sort of a status thing, Mark, where people say, oh, did you run a campaign? Yes. Did you hit your goal? No. Really? I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, what happened? And it goes on, because usually I know on our page, films stay up there for a long time. So you want to hit the goal. You want to be successful. There's something about success in our business that sort of follows you, and failure is something you just don't want in the crowdfunding world. I think you want to set a number that you know you can achieve. And there is a great amount of energy, Mark, that comes when you are successful. I'm sure you felt that with your film projects, right?
Agreed, 100%. The more success that you have, the stronger people will know about the more people will know about your film. If you hit, fund at 150% or 200%, more people will know about it. If you manage to break a record, the more people will know about it. So the stronger that you do, the better off it'll be in the long run.
Great. Thank you so much. We really appreciate this. So I'm going to take some of my notes here and tweet them. And we all thank you very much. Thank you for all the independent and emerging filmmakers to give us such detailed, comprehensive knowledge and support from Indiegogo. Thank you very much for joining us, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me, Carol.
So we'll keep your email, and we know that you're going to get some calls, and we thank you for supporting all of us. Claire, thank you for the program.
Yes, thank you, Claire.
Oh, yes. Great pleasure. Mark, thank you. Lots of good information here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, take good care, Mark. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Be well, everyone.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.